Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
We're happy to have Ron Kangas with us on the program again today. Ron, it's nice to have you back.
It's good to be back.
And it's good to fellowship on this particular point. I can't recall that we have visited it in such an emphatic way. I'm looking forward to the fellowship.
I think this is unique in that regard, this program particularly. It's a very important section of the book of Revelation. It's the matter of the churches practically as they are expressed and seen on the earth, not the universal church globally. It's interesting, Ron, that this revelation follows in chapter 1 very closely the matter of the Lord's coming again. I guess as an introduction, maybe we could talk about, is this coincidental or is there some purpose here?
Nothing in the scriptures is coincidental or accidental. This book was addressed to the only kind of churches that existed in the apostles' time, churches in a city, local churches. One church in a city as the expression of the one body of Christ universally. That was the norm. That was the situation everywhere, according to the Lord's ordination. And there is a connection between the Lord's coming and experiencing the Lord in His endurance with all our companions in tribulation and the practical expression of the church through the local churches. Regarding the Lord's coming, the Lord, when He came the first time, had a people standing on the proper ground before Him in Jerusalem, waiting for His appearing. The principle must be the same with the Lord's coming, that we need to be in the standing ordained by Him, standing in oneness, receiving the supply of His grace as we look for His appearing and the fulfillment of our hope. So it's very significant that John would write from within the context of one who helped establish the church life and who lived the church life, writing to those in the practical church life, and it was to them that there could be an accurate and full and thorough unveiling of the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is not a theoretical matter. Having the proper standing and being in the proper position mean a lot for our participation in the carrying out of God's economy.
Actually, I misspoke saying that it followed closely the matter of the Lord's coming. It does, but in a more correct sense, the Lord's coming is really sandwiched between two references to the practical churches in verse 4. And then, of course, in verse 7, we have the reference to the Lord's coming, which we've talked about the last couple of days. And now in verse 11 again, it says this, saying what you see, write in a scroll and send it to the 7 churches, to Ephesus and to Smyrna and to Pergamos and to Thyatira and to Sardis and to Philadelphia and to Laodicea. All of those, even the punctuation is significant in this verse, isn't it, Ron?
Very significant, especially when we consider this is Jesus Christ Himself speaking. And the Lord Jesus is the one who identifies a church and a city. To anticipate other messages, when He begins speaking to each church, He links the church and the city together, saying to the church in Ephesus, etc. And at the very end of Revelation, in chapter 22, He says, I, Jesus, have sent my messenger to testify of these things for the churches. This book is addressed to genuine and proper local churches. That's just the fact. That's the Lord's word. And we, in all honesty, now need to consider this in the light of the totality of the divine revelation and its progress.
Well, we have a wonderful message today from our brother Witness Lee from Revelation, and I have to say, full of revelation. Let's join him now.
The scriptures, the Bible, is the divine revelation. It began with God. the first two pages of Genesis reveal to us the very God. Then the whole Old Testament continued to do the same thing. The whole book of the Old Testament is a revelation of God Himself. Then you have the four Gospels. In the four Gospels, you have the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is the progress of the divine revelation. The progress is from God to Christ. Then after the four Gospels, we all know we have the Acts plus all the epistles. In these books, in the Acts and the epistles, we have the revelation of Christ as the Spirit. So we have the revelation of the Spirit as a continuation of the divine revelation in the whole Bible. Then, followingly, we have the church revealed. These are the four major sections of the whole divine revelation in the Bible. The section of God, the section of Christ, the section of the Spirit, and the section of the church. This is the progress of the divine revelation. Thank God. Some Christians in the past two centuries have really made some progress in knowing the Bible. They have not only the Old Testament, not only the four Gospels, but also the Acts and the Epistles. They got to know God, Christ, and the Spirit. They also have got to know a little bit concerning the church. Yet, they only have seen the church universally.
Well, Ron, we begin this look at the section in Revelation dealing with the local churches or the practical aspect of the church by seeing the Bible encapsulated into four main sections or revelations: the revelation of God, the revelation of Christ, the revelation of the Spirit, and finally the church. Ron, most believers, I think, know something of the universal aspect of the church, but this practical aspect is not that well understood. It's even more commonly, I guess, misunderstood, isn't it?
That is simply the case. We may ask why. I don't have the full answer to that, but let's just begin and maybe even just limit ourselves to the obvious. The practice of the church life among believers today is very far removed from what is revealed in the New Testament. We are the heir of centuries of departure and division, or the creation of a huge, monolithic, hierarchical religious organization. So everywhere there is misunderstanding and misapplication and very little interest in a practical recovery of the New Testament revelation concerning the actual and practical church life. Regarding this, we are, in a sense, a voice crying in the wilderness. Let's come back to the Word. Let us consider what is in the Word. Then in the light of what is in the Word, let us seek the Lord concerning how He would lead us in this matter. The lack of seeking and the lack of absoluteness with this very practical matter of the church life, combined with the degradation of the church and the divisions that abound, result in today's situation that the practical aspect is little known and little understood. And even when there is some amount of understanding, there is very little practice.
Well, a minute ago we read this verse in Revelation chapter 1, verse 11. Let me repeat it again. It's short. We're going to go into this verse in more detail now. It says, what you see, write in a scroll and send it to the seven churches, and then lists seven cities, to Ephesus and to Smyrna and to Pergamos and to Thyatira and to Sardis and to Philadelphia and to Laodicea. Let's join Witness Lee once again.
We all have to know in the last book of the Bible, in the book of Revelation, in the first three chapters, what is covered here emphatically is not the universal church, but the local churches. The seven churches in seven cities. I like verse 11 of chapter 1, which says, you write what you see in a book and send it to the seven churches. Many among you have never been impressed with the importance how this verse is composed. It is composed in this way, what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches, colon, to Ephesus and to Smyrna and to Pergamos and to Thyatira and to Sardis and to Philadelphia and to Laodicea. To the seven cities equals to the seven churches. To the seven churches equals to the seven cities. One church equals one city, and one city equals to one church. This is the local churches. I was with the so-called Brethren Assembly. When I was there, they spent quite much time on these few books. And Daniel and Revelation, they spent quite much time. What I heard and what I learned of them concerning Revelation, mostly the frogs, the serpent, the locusts, and the ten horns, these kind of things. By that time, I didn't get any impression that in the book of Revelation, there were the local churches. I didn't have this impression. What I was impressed with were, I tell you, the frogs, locusts, ten horns, ten heads, and so forth. I even didn't hear much concerning the New Jerusalem. Rather, I heard a city in the heavens, which is called the Heavenly Mansion. Oh, the road is paved with gold, and the doors are built with pearls, and so forth. I never heard the New Jerusalem. I don't know what happened there. But, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Tonight, our book of Revelation is not like that.
Amen.
Our book of Revelation is full of what? The local churches.
Amen.
Among whom the Son of Man is watching. This is our book of Revelation. And eventually, in our book of Revelation is the New Jerusalem, with Christ as its centrality and universality. This is our book of Revelation.
Well, Brother Ron, we're getting a real impression today regarding the status or the importance that this revelation of the church and the churches occupies in the whole of the divine revelation. The next two verses following this verse 11 tell us that these seven local churches are seen by John as the lampstands, and that Jesus, the Son of Man, is found walking in their midst. So many mysterious things in this book, Ron, but this one may be the one that has been most deeply hidden, it seems.
A case can be made for that, and again, we should ask why. And Brother Lee's speaking regarding his early experience gives us a clue. We come to Revelation. There's so many intriguing things to, I would say honestly, immature readers. We want to know about the frogs and the locusts. Who are these beasts, one out of the sea and one out of the land? And What's with all the heads? And we pay attention to these things. Or if we're more refined, we want to work out the chronology of the events of the last days. And so we major in these minor things and do not pay attention for the most part to what matters to the Lord. What matters to the Lord is the church. Acts 20 tells us he bought the church with his blood. The Lord said, I will build my church. We indicated earlier this revelation is given to the churches. So we come with our own agenda, our own interests, our own priorities, all of which differ from the Lord's. And so we miss what is precious to him. And one other thing, it really doesn't cost us too much practically to speculate about frogs or locusts or beasts. But when it comes to considering, the actual practical church life revealed in the Bible, this touches us in space and time in a very thorough way. And many of the Lord's people simply do not want to touch it, I believe, partly because they sense within there's a price concerning this matter. If I get into this, this may have a practical issue in my life. And so for these reasons and perhaps many other reasons, readers ignore it. But we cannot. We must present it in proportion to its value to the Lord in the Scriptures and in the book of Revelation.
Ron, in our first section today, we saw this encapsulated view of the Bible with these four distinct revelations: God, Christ, the Spirit, and the Church. These are not detached. In this last section today, we're going to see this is really a progression in the divine revelation. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
Now, we must spend some time to see the progress of God's revelation. First of all, God reveals himself to us. He reveals himself to us as Elohim, which is a Hebrew word that means the mighty one. Then, from Genesis chapter 2, God is revealed as Jehovah. Jehovah means I am that I am, the great I am. He is the existing one. Then this God became incarnated to be a man. And this man was called by the name Jesus Christ. In the four Gospels, we have a person, a wonderful person, whose name is Jesus Christ. He is not only Jesus to save us, but also Christ to carry out God's eternal plan. For him to carry out God's plan, there is the need of the church. And to produce the church, there is need of two things. Number one, of redemption. To redeem back the lost created man. Redemption is needed for the producing of the church, number one. And number two, there's the need of imparting life into the redeemed ones. For imparting life into the redeemed ones, there is the Spirit of life. There is the life-giving Spirit. Number one, the redemption. Number two, the Spirit of life. The blood redeems us, and the Spirit regenerates us. Now what? After being redeemed and regenerated, we all become the living members of the body of Christ. And this body is the church. This body at the church is the very means for Christ to carry out God's eternal economy. Amen. Now we can see, surely in God's economy, the church is crucial. Without the church, even God couldn't do anything. For Christ to carry out God's eternal plan, there is the need of the church. If you don't have the local churches, how could you have universal church? The universal church is composed of the local churches, just like a human body is composed of so many members.
Ron, this is a tremendous word today. To see the churches not just presented doctrinally as the local churches identified uniquely with cities, but to also see them as the practical context where the divine economy is worked out. This is altogether marvelous. Ron, take our final couple of minutes and develop this point a bit more.
It's very good to be reminded at this juncture that the Bible is a book that unveils God's economy. That is God's plan and arrangement to dispense himself in Christ, based on Christ's redemption, into his chosen and redeemed people as their life and their life supply and their everything, to produce the body of Christ as his corporate expression, and the body of Christ consummates in the New Jerusalem. We are now living in the age of grace, in the age of the church, and the practical vehicle for the Lord to carry out the divine economy in this age is the church. This is the clear revelation of the New Testament and practice of the apostles. So it's no accident that the book of Revelation, which is a book concerned with the divine governmental administration, was written to churches, not to isolated clusters of believers, not to families, not to individuals, but to churches. Because the Lord is working through the churches to carry out and advance his economy in this age. No wonder that the enemy has assailed not only the truth, but the practice of the churches. If he is successful, he can frustrate the carrying out of God's administration. That is why the Lord needs a recovery, not only of the truth concerning the church, not only of the life matters involving the church, but the practical expression of the church through local churches established according to the truth unveiled in the book of Revelation in particular and in the New Testament as a whole. That's why we're here.
Ron, just as the plan of salvation in God's eternal economy is very, very precisely and specifically laid out in his word, so is this practical aspect of the living out of the church life, and we really need to pay our attention to it, don't we?
Yes, it's there. If we love the Lord and we love his word, it behooves us to come to him and to the word, poor in spirit, pure in heart, seeking to be enlightened by God who is light, through his word, the entrance of which gives light.
Thank you, Ron, for your sharing today another very significant life study. Thank you very much for listening.